Recordings are started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. And welcome to the new GTLD subsequent procedures working group call on the 30th of May, 2017 at 1500 UTC. In the interest of time, there'll be no roll call. Attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect room. Cavus and Louie, I have you both listed on audio only. Is there anyone else in addition on audio only at this time? Hearing no further names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to our co-chair, Avery Doria. Please begin.
Thank you, Terry, and hello, everybody. Okay, first to review the agenda. We'll first go through the SOIs, then go through the work track updates, basically what's happened in them since we last spoke in full meeting and where they're headed over the next couple weeks. Then there'll be a quick update on community comment two. There'll be an update and discussion on the GDD's response to the select questions from the GDD summit. This referred to issues that at the time were being called gating issues, though that terminology may not be accurate. Then we're going to go to the second one of the drafting team updates. In this case, it's the framework for community engagement and predictability. We'll do a walkthrough of that, see if we can generate some interest and some conversation on that. I'm very happy, by the way, just as an aside, with the amount of conversation we got going and even list activity that we got from the last meeting's discussion of one of the drafting team issues on categories, though it did bleed into the next one on rounds first come, first serve, or whatever. But that is the way all of our issues are interconnected. And then any other business. Does anybody have any other business they want to add to the agenda right at this point? Okay. I will ask again when we get there. So thanks. Any changes, comments, amendments, what have you, to the agenda? Okay. Well, then we'll go with that agenda. In starting, I want to mention, as always, the statements of interest. Remind people that if their circumstances change, especially in any way that relates to the work of this PDP working group, they need to update the SOI and let the group know. Has anybody made any changes at this point that meet that qualification? Seeing none, hearing none. Okay, move on to work track updates. So for work track one, let me see, I haven't noticed which of the co-chairs we have yet. If the co-chair willing to report raises a hand, I could call on you. Do we have... Thank you, Krista. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Lightly, but I can hear you.
Okay, sorry, I'll speak loud. For it's Krista Taylor for the record. For work track one, we haven't had a meeting last big call, but we do have a meeting in a few hours from now at UTC. Today's agenda is to some of the topics, our current progress, and where we're going to go from there. And revert back to the RSP document and the draft requirements was there. So for anyone, we just sent out the agenda a few minutes ago, but there's a link in there if anyone would like to contribute to the Google document and or that's it.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Krista? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to work track two. Yes, Michael, please. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Aubrey. In working track two, we have a meeting scheduled for this week on Thursday at 21 UTC. This week, we were looking at having a continuation of the discussion on vertical integration. But it seems that the data that we requested back from ICANN staff is still not available, so we're going to be likely moving on to the global public interest and discussing that unless we can get that data back. If we can hit global public interest this week, we will have covered every topic in our working track at least once. Big round of applause. Thank you, everyone, for coming to the meetings. But then we'll also have one more meeting before the Joburg ICANN meeting, and that will be in two more weeks after this week. So thank you very much. We look forward to seeing you this Thursday.
Thank you, Michael. Are there any questions or comments for Work Track 2? Okay, seeing nothing, hearing nothing. Yes, Jonathan.
Thanks, Avery. Quick question, and if I'm missing something or it's inappropriate to ask it now, it's fine, I understand, but I just wondered if there was any sort of outcome or initial conclusions on vertical integration that piqued my interest, and if it's more appropriate to simply point me to the document, that's fine, but that's the question. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Michael, I see your hand is up, so please go ahead.
Thank you for the question, Jonathan. While we have not reached any conclusions at this point, basically what we're looking at is whether or not we really even need to kind of reopen the discussion itself. It is a big and very debatable issue, but at the same time, we're actually looking at seeing if there's important data to try to see if any of the original, you know, harms or the potential harms that were thought of that would come with vertical integration came about within the new GTLD program. We're requesting some data from ICANN to see if we can find kind of evidence of any of that harm happening, any harm that might have taken place. And if we are able to find that, then we may go into further discussion to see if there's not some recommendations that we can need to come up with there. So I see Jeff also probably wants to contribute on this issue.
Please, Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Aubrey, and thanks, Michael. Jonathan, I would say, I guess, what Michael said just a little bit differently in that the chairs had recommended that or had positioned that, you know, doors open, the cat's out of the bag, if you will, on vertical integration. So the question now is not necessarily should we have vertical integrated entities or not, but really does the contract and the circumstances allow for the flexibility and the efficiencies that were predicted by the economists in opening the space up, while at the same time limit the harms that were potentially created by opening up integrated entities? And if not, what things could we do to either increase the efficiencies that were intended while at the same time or limit the harms that were predicted if in fact there are harms? So it's really just around the edges and not opening up the whole issue.
Thank you, Jeff. Any further comment? Okay, and I do invite people to go to the Work Track meetings on some of these issues when they come up if you do have concerns. Okay. Then I'll move on to Work Track 3. So, Karen or Robin, or which one of you? Yes, Robin, please, go ahead.
Hi, this is Robin. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Can you hear me? Okay. Great. So in Work Track 3, we've our last meeting, we had some really good conversations, again, about sessions of community, the benefits of the process, how it can evolve for next time. I believe we've taken a stab at a first draft of how we could more carefully define community. And so now we'll have some discussions about that, hopefully on the list. In terms of our actual meetings, the next meeting will switch gears a little bit and focus on accountability mechanisms with respect to the new GTLD program. And that would be on 1 week from today, June 6th at 2000 UTC. So we'll start talking about the accountability mechanisms and the existing ones we have at already within ICANN that are sort of organization-wide, and their adequacy, and maybe some discussion about do we need something more specific with respect to new GTLDs, particularly in terms of beefing up the accountability, or are the existing mechanisms sufficient? So that's just sort of a preview of the next meeting, which I hope people who are interested in these topics will attend. And again, that's a week from today on June 6th at 2000 UTC. Thanks.
Thank you, Robin. Any questions or comments?
Avery?
Okay. Yes, please.
Yes, I'm sorry, I'm on an audio bridge.
I understand. Go ahead, please.
I am not quite understand in what sense we would like to extend or apply accountability mechanism to the new GTLD. In what part of the new GTLD? In the general part, how, and if it's a specific part, which part of the new GTLD we need to have accountability mechanism? If accountability mechanism is a general, very general term, and we have to see in the scope of application, in what sense and how. We would appreciate if Robin could kindly describe a little bit more for those people who do not attend a meeting, just attend a general meeting, to be clear how accountability and what mechanism of accountability to be applied for the new GTLD, in what sense. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. Either Robin or Karen, would you like to take a, I don't even know if Karen, yes, Karen is here. Would you like to take a crack at an answer?
This is Robin. I'd be happy to.
Thank you.
So I think we want to actually take, a very broad look initially and look at the entire GTLD program and particularly trying to find more accountability. Do we want to sort of divide up the issues in terms of procedural accountability or accountability on substance of the process? Maybe we need different mechanisms depending upon whether the issue is a procedural one or whether the issue is a substantive one. We've got a lot of existing accountability mechanisms that I can, reconsideration requests, independent review panel, the ombudsman, these types of things. And so I think what we want to do is we really want to look at how are these particular accountability mechanisms addressing the needs of the GTLD program, and are they sufficient, and where there are gaps, how could we possibly close them? I hope that helps. Thanks.
Thank you, Robin. Any other comment or question?
I have not been convinced of this. We have to look at the accountability to apply to various parts of the new GTLD. What part of the new GTLD? The process that have this GTLD, the implementation of GTLD, which part of the new GTLD we would like to have accountability, and who is providing that accountability, and who is controlling that accountability, what are the procedures for that? This is not very clear. It would be good if that group will provide a clarification of the area they want to work, but not saying that we want to see the applications or extension of the accountability in the new GTLD. You have to see what really we need and how what areas we really concentrate. So we need more clarification, please. Thank you.
Okay, yes, thank you. And I think those many of the things that you brought up are indeed part of this whole discussion. Now, it may be that we find out that for all of those, for the application process, for the intermediate processes for you know, going through review and such, that all the accountability mechanisms that exist are sufficient and are working fine. They also may find gaps. So I think you're asking very relevant questions. I see Jeff has his hand up, so I will give him the floor. Please, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks, Aubrey. Some other things that have come up as well include, you know, right now the accountability measures mostly look at the process as opposed to the substance of the actual decisions being made and whether, you know, the board violated the bylaws. I think some may be looking for appeals mechanisms that can actually go back and look at the substance of the decisions. Again, I'm not saying that this is going to be adopted. It was just a topic that was brought up in the discussion group. So, for example, let's say the string similarity panel finds two strings not to be similar, or I should say the other way around. Let's say a similarity panel finds that the strings, two strings applied for are similar. The question at this point is, can you appeal that to someone else to make the substantive call? And the accountability measures may not provide for that type of substantive appeal. So that's the other types of areas that are going to be discussed. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. Okay, any other comments, questions? Okay, in which case we'll move on to work track 4, but I do invite again anybody that is concerned with this issue to join the work track 4 conversations when they are occurring. Work track 4. Please, Cheryl.
Thank you, Avery. Cheryl, for the record. And the invitation is certainly extended to work track 4, however. Don't remove the invitation. We'd love to have more people joining our call. Our last call, which was a Thursday last week, was an excellent update and presentation from Patrick Falstrom regarding the ESSAC papers that have been published over the years. In particular, obviously, one of our main topics of interest was on name collisions, but it was not limited to that. And in fact, we were privileged to get a little advanced précis at that time unpublished, but it was published in a few hours after our last call. I've forgotten the number now. I think it might be 97 or so, on the emojis, so the use of emojis in domain names. So, as TLD, so we've got some excellent material in the audio and meeting records. So, if anyone was not available to attend the call and is interested in that, this is one of those that I would very much encourage you to go and grab the records and take yourselves through a very informative. 45 minutes or so. It wasn't the only thing on the agenda, but it was the lion's share of the agenda. I also need to note very briefly for the record that Rubens has had to unfortunately suddenly drop from today's call, so he please would like you to note his apologies and regrets having to do that. Our next call, where we will be continuing our discussions, is set for Thursday, the 8th of June at 2000 UTC, and we'll be forwarding out an agenda which will, surprisingly enough, be continuing talk on naming collisions and some other important matters at that time. So other than that, open for any questions.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions for Cheryl on work track 4? Okay, and a bunch of notes have been put in about Patrick's presentation. Therefore, okay, I want to say one last thing about work tracks and just give people sort of a view. A lot of you have already heard me speak of this in the various WorkTrack meetings because I've been going from WorkTrack to WorkTrack sort of making this or explaining this. So in almost all of the WorkTracks at the moment, with a few exceptions, we have gone through all of the topics and had the first conversation. I've called this conversation at various times the Blue Sky Conversation. Jeff has called it the Collection of Pros and Cons, excuse me, conversation. But by and large, what we've tried to do in this first cycle through all of these issues is get the issues on the table, make sure that we all have a common understanding of the various points of views, the pros and cons, the things we might do to change, the things we might never want to change. And that's been pretty much a very open conversation on each of the issues, bringing in experts, presentations created by our staff support, et cetera. Now, with the CC2 conclusion, and Steve will give us an update on that in a bit, but with that conclusion, as all of these groups finish this first cycle, they'll go into a second cycle, which is look at the review comments. Look at those review comments in comparison to the ideas that were in formation during the first cycle through. See what places were starting to come up with provisional initial approaches to consensus. Notice all the qualifications I put before the word consensus. These groups don't come to the consensus. That's the full group. But basically, to come to their initial views and basically go through all the comments, exhaust the discussion, come up with answers, then there'll actually be a third pass that the WorkTracks will be asked to do before this comes back to the full. And that's then to look at each issue and have an answer for, or have a reason for lack of answer for, okay, we know what was in the policy, we know what was in the AGB, does it look like there'll be consensus for changing? And if there is consensus for changing, do we have the beginnings of an idea of that consensus for what to change it to? And to basically get all of those recorded and where those answers are indeterminate to basically get the sides of the issue explained in such a way that then the full group can come to it. At that point, the WorkTracks would basically get all their work together, their recommendations to the full group, et cetera, their issues, their problems, and basically send that to the full group for discussion. At the full group level, they would the full group would, you know, will consolidate all of this into a document that will become our initial recommendations report, and, you know, we'll deal with any of the open issues in the approach to that. The WorkTracks at that point would go dormant. Now, I don't recommend that we close them, but they'll go dormant. Now, if in the discussion of some issue we talk and talk and talk and find that a more consecrated discussion on a particular point is warranted, then the full group could certainly ask the WorkTrack to sort of, you know, wake itself up and take on that issue. But by and large, we'll be coming into the full group for the discussion. So just wanted to let people know about these three cycles and the fact that we're nearing the end of the first one and about to enter the second one. Are there any questions on that as a process, any disagreements with that as a process, or even objections? Just wanted to make sure, you know, we're reaching sort of a midpoint here with the CC2 and getting ready for our initial, recommendations at the full level. So just wanted to do that check-in with people and make sure that we're heading kind of okay. Okay. As I say, willing to talk about this more. We'll be going through it. We'll be living through it. Always willing to amend the process if it's not quite working. But that's the way we're working on it now. So with that, I'll go to an update on community comment 2. And either Steve or Emily, could you do the honors, please?
Sure, Aubrey. This is Emily Barabas from staff. I can give a brief update about CC2. So at this point, we've received 25 comments, which is great. It's been a good cross-section of the community, and we'll drop the link into the chat if people are interested in getting a head start on seeing what's been submitted so far and so forth. And officially, the period is closed, although in practice, the forum is still accepting comments, so if someone tried to submit one right now, it still would be possible, although we are asking if anyone on the call is still sitting on a comment that they're finishing up, if they can get that in as soon as possible. That would be great. And our goal is to have, by June 5th, the document deadline for Johannesburg, all of the comments into a comment review tool, and have that submitted by the document deadline. So that's the goal. And at this point, staff is sifting through the comments, putting them into spreadsheets separated by tab, by question, so that they're easy to review. And we're almost done with that process, just doing some QA to make sure everything's where it needs to be. So this should be available to the work tracks soon to start sifting through. And if anyone has questions, please let us know. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? I'd just like to point out that while it is closed and while staff may be benevolent and take something still into account before the deadline, as June 5th is rather soon, it's rather unlikely that anything that comes in much after today would have any ability of being considered in that document. It doesn't mean we can't talk about it in the work tracks, but it means certainly that it won't be completed in any report. At least any report ready before Johannesburg. Any comments on CC2? Questions? Okay, and so thank you, Emily, for that. Okay, the next issue is update and discussion on the GDD response to select questions from the GDD Summit. So who is it that's making that? Is that you, Trang, or is there someone else that's giving us that update?
Hi, Aubrey. It's Trang. I can provide an update on that.
Please go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. So I had circulated an email responding to a set of questions that were raised at the recent GDD Summit. From Jeff and Donna. The questions raised were primarily around in what areas does ICANN organization need certainty or answers to before implementation preparation and next steps could be taken. And then how much time does ICANN organization need to prepare? And then there were also some questions with regards to the CCT review team recommendations and their report, as well as the CDAR report that was recently published, what the next steps on those are. So I have provided response. Sorry, Ken, I will try to get closer to the phone here. I had provided response to these questions in the email, primarily as it relates to what items does ICANN org need clarity on before we can move forward with next steps. The major item there really is whether or not applications will be accepted and processed in rounds or as first come, first served. As I previously mentioned on one of these plenary calls, if applications are to be received and processed in a first-come, first-served fashion, that would ultimately, fundamentally change how we would do things. So before we can start on any sort of system development or any sort of, implementation preparation, that's the one area where we would love to have some certainty around. Another item that's currently under discussion in the working group, and I can't remember which one, which work track it is, but it's the RSP topic. You know, obviously, if there is going to be some sort of an RSP program of some type, that would be a new thing, and there's not much in terms of preparation or implementation that can be done at this point in time until the working group decides whether or not there would be such a program. So that's one thing that we wouldn't be able to start on until there's some certainty around it. So really, those are the two big things. As it relates to how much time I can need for preparation, it really depends on the answers to those questions. And it also depends on the phase of the discussions and when it would make sense for us to start. Obviously, as I mentioned in the past, there's always some level of implementation preparedness that could be done. You know, we can, you know, like what we're doing right now, follow your discussions, figure out what projects we would need to work on, identify the internal team that would need to work on this. But there's only so much that we can do unless we have more certainty around at what point in the discussion are things more set and that we can take some action on. So, you know, we would love to continue to engage with you on this. RV mentioned sort of the three phases of work. You know, at which time during those phases would it make sense for us to start, for example, drafting the AGB? And then lastly, as I mentioned, in the email, as it relates to the CCT review team and any recommendations from that review team, once the final recommendations are available, they will go to the board for consideration. And if the board approves it, then we, ICANN organization, would then go about implementing the recommendations. And for the CDAR report, the next step there would be for the board to consider it. So I hope that answers all of the questions that were raised at the GDD Summit, and I'm happy to answer any follow-up questions or any other questions. Thank you, Avi.
Thank you, Trang. Yeah, I mean, I'll give you my first approach to, I think, sort of a very clear point of demarcation in the whole process I was talking about, and that's when our draft recommendations are prepared and go out for comment. So that goal, at that point, the group will have reached at least initial consensus. You know, obviously that can change based on comments, but we'll have reached initial consensus on all of the issues. And so that, for me, marks a demarcation point of where that there is a certain amount of the beginnings of certainty. I'll go to Donna, please.
Thanks, Avery. Thanks, Trang, for the update. I just have a question on the timing of when the board is going to consider the CDAR report, whether you have any insight as to when that would be. And the reason I ask that question is because depending on what the outcome of that consideration is, it could have quite an impact on some of the discussions we're having within this group. So, for example, if the board decides to stay with the current rate of delegation, which is, you know, a maximum of 1,000 per year, then, and, you know, for a next application window ends up with 5,000 applications, then that has an impact on how we move through the process. So do you have any idea of timing?
I guess.
Done. I'm sorry,
please,
I was trying to speak.
Avri, could you put me in the queue, please?
Sure, Carlos, I'll put you in the queue, but Trang, please.
Thank you, Avri. Thank you, Donna. My expectation is that it would go to the board for consideration at the board's June meeting, but let me confirm that for you.
Okay, thank you. Carlos, please.
Yes, Avery, as you have been noted before, I have serious concerns about the use of the first-come, first-served in this process. And I have mentioned that ICANN does not have any experience whatsoever about the consequence of first come first serves. Other people outside the ICANN, they have in the similar application. It is very, very complex issue and could be used and an abuse of the whole process. I have seen one person sending something. Yes, we need to create that in order to create dispute, in order to create disagreement, because dispute, disagreement, and struggling with each other is give rise to innovations. I don't agree with that. I don't think that innovation comes from the controversial issues and so on. So before deciding on anything to put in a recommendation, we should carefully examine all advantages and drawbacks of the first come first serve. We should well document it and provide that who will benefit of that. Many, many people, they have expressed concerns outside the working group because they are not participating in the working group. When I talk to them, they say that they have no possibility for one or other reasons and so on. Please take it. This is my personal professional view. Don't interpret it by anything that's representing X or representing Y. This is a technical professional view that it is a very tedious and very complex and very subject to abuse and warehousing of the TLD if you take that process. Kindly be careful, study thoroughly, and label or provide or list all advantage and disadvantage, and then you decide whether you should propose it as a method or not. Thank you very much. I'm sorry that I jumped into the queue. I'm very, very sorry, but that is the only thing today I have. I can't be in the line to ask on June. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kavos, and no worries about jumping in to ask for the queue. That is the way it's done, and I know it's difficult to find that right moment when I've been quiet long enough that you feel safe to not, you know, that there's actually quiet. I have to remember to leave more silent space for that to be done. Certainly, I'll give you a first answer, and perhaps others will. Certainly, that has not been decided, as you know. It's one of the pending CC1 issues. It's the topic of one of the drafting teams, indeed, to look at what the subsequent procedures are, rounds, open periods, windows, and yes, the use of first come, first serve, or perhaps an eventual evolution to it. That issue is still very open. I invite anyone to take part in that drafting team, to look at the document that's there, to comment on it, to put their ideas in it. But certainly that issue, it will be on the agenda of our next full meeting. It will be the third of the drafting team reports that we go through. So it'll be on the next agenda. So now is a perfect time over the next 2 weeks to look at that document and to get your comments and suggested text into that document as part of that careful consideration. No decisions have been made. No consensus is even close yet, I'd say. And at the moment, I think we're in that period of careful study. So this will be a topic for our next full meeting. Any further questions or comments on going back to the GDD response on those issues? Are we okay with that for the moment? So, when you have the update on when the board will consider it, please let the list know so that can be covered. But thank you very much for your update. Anything else on that? I see typing. I'll pause for a second. Thank you, Trang. I see the will do. Okay. In which case, if there's nothing else on this, the next one is to go to the drafting team update and to talk about the framework for community engagement and predictability. And where is that? So that's coming up. This is another document, the first part of which was contributed by our support staff and such. I have started making comments to it, but it hasn't gotten much work. So I'm wondering, Steve, if you would care to do a first introduction to it, and then I can talk about the stuff that I've added to it and see if we can't get some discussion going in the group. Would you be okay with that?
Sure, Aubrey. Thanks. This is Steve Chan from staff, and I'll try to do an initial walkthrough of this document. To be clear, the drafting team, well, the document that you're looking at right now and that's available on the Google Drive is not considered a final document. It's primarily a staff document right now that has been supplemented by Aubrey at this point. So I would try to take the opportunity here to hopefully recruit a few more people to look at this document, because from what we've heard from people, this is a pretty important thing to try to get some clarity on. It's essentially, I guess you could look at it as sort of a change control management document. And that's sort of how we've taken the first pass at this, is to say that despite all the hard work and planning and data-driven analysis that we might do as a working group, there are likely things that will be missed. And so acknowledging that things might still need to change even during implementation or even as the program is being executed, what this framework is intended to do is to try to provide a predictable and clear way for things that come up, how they are resolved in the end. So again, it's not to say that we'll solve everything in this working group as hard as we try, but you know, if things do come up, how do we fix them and how are they resolved? So the way that's organized is it provides a problem statement here. It says that applicants and other parties interested in the new GTLD program expect a level of predictability and stability within the program after launch that many felt was not adequately met, and how can predictability for all interested parties be enhanced? So the way that staff understood this is the scope that we're looking at is primarily after program launch and not so much as the group's recommendations are being implemented. Although I saw Aubrey actually started adding some things related to the implementation review team, so I think getting some clarity about the exact scope of this document would be good. So sorry, I've synced the document again, but it starts talking about the community engagement aspects, part of making sure that the program is predictable and well understood by the community is by having a very engaged and participatory community. So this top section about the community engagement talks about the ways in which the community is solicited for opinions, worked with to make sure that they're familiar with what is being developed by this working group. So to the extent there's things that we could do in addition to these things, I think that would be a good thing for the working group members or the drafting team to suggest, add it to the section, and make sure we actually do some of those things. Scrolling down is where you actually get to the framework. And so the way that we divided this up is to say some changes will be more operational in nature. And then secondarily, there might be things that are quite substantial in nature. And you could say they're possibly even policy level changes. And so within each of these two categories, we tried to provide some definition of the type of update. Some could be minor process updates where it doesn't actually have an impact on applicants or people watching the program that are maybe interested in providing an objection or any other reason. And so the example here is a change in process flow for contracting or pre-delegation that doesn't actually impact any timelines or change the process for any of the applicants. And then, so the expected mitigation strategy here is none expected. But when you go down in this list of changes, the changes are more substantial. And sorry, I haven't looked at this doc in a little while. So the next one is a change in ICANN's internal processes that might have an impact on the community members. In this case, where there's actually an impact to the community, the idea is that they would need to be consulted before the change is actually made. And I saw that Aubrey started adding some things down below to try to get an idea of what level of change would result in public comment. That's still debatable and for the drafting team to consider. So I won't go into detail for all these, but then the last thing is a new process or procedure. And of course, that's more substantial than the one I just mentioned. So the idea there would of course, have to be staff working with the community, consult the change, and inform once the changes are agreed and deployed. The very last part that so I actually touched on this briefly, it's the changes that are possibly policy level changes. And we categorize it by further by two elements here. One is revision to something that is already recommended by the working group. And then the other change could be something completely brand new. And there are mechanisms by which policy can be changed, but one of the first things that would need to be determined is what the nature of the change is. So you would need a community agreement on whether it is a fundamental policy change or if it might in fact be just an operational change that ICANN org could actually implement and perhaps within consultation with the community. So one of the key, decision points that staff identified is who is actually making these decisions. The idea that I mentioned is that we're looking at issues that arise after the program has been implemented, so post-IRT. And so most of these things are as the program is being executed. So once something comes up, presumably the IRT is not necessarily still in operation. So who is the proper party to consider the change that has come up and how it is best to be resolved? Scrolling down a little further, these are the changes that Aubrey just made. And so I mentioned earlier that we had intended that the scope would be after IRT, but it's probably good to also consider how changes and how issues that arise during the IRT are also resolved. Although there are some prescribed methods within the bylaws and then also the GNSO operating procedures by which issues at that stage can be resolved. Hopefully that provides some clarity, and I'll turn it back over to Aubrey. Thanks.
Hi, this is Aubrey speaking. I actually put in up my hand, and basically, so I'll speak for a second, chair hat off, but on the comments I made. And basically, while indeed the normal term of an IRP is the implementation, and so you could have an assumption that once the AGB is published, implementation is over. But here we're talking about changes to implementation. And I don't believe, although I'll go back and check, I don't believe there's anything that actually prescribes when an IRP ends. And certainly in a program such as this, where we have seen that implementation continues past the point of, past the flag day when applications are accepted, we'll need to look at that, I think, in terms of the IRP. I'll certainly go back, since I'm making the recommendation, to make sure that there isn't something that says, no, 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 an implementation review team is not allowed to exist past, you know, the AGB coming out. So I think that these are still implementation issues, and they still could be discussed by an IRP or something similar. So that's part of that. And the only other piece I started is, yeah, just to build a table there of, you know, when is it appropriate to go out for comments. Another piece that's missing from this that has come up in discussions, which I'll add, I'm sorry that the table is complete. I was doing my additions at the last minute, and it was time to call in for the meeting, so I didn't get any further than I got. But basically, we have had discussions of things like freezing changes and when certain things are frozen and become immutable, and what the set of things that become immutable are. What was a discussion we had while we were sort of blue skying this notion at the beginning before CC1. So I think I'll be adding a section on that, which is another thing we need to go and look at. Is there an immutability point in any of the processes where no, there are no changes allowed? And if so, to what does that apply? So that's the end of me talking personally here. I'll put my hat back on, take my hand down, and ask if there are any other comments. People have other things to say about this. I notice a bunch of you have jumped into the document. I hope you're not just looking, but you're making suggestions, because very much, even if you don't want to sign formally onto a drafting team, anyone in this group, in fact, anybody with the URL, can go into this document and suggest changes and comment. So even if you just want to dip your toe into the discussion and add some text or add a point, this is the time to do it. What I suggest we'll do going forward on this, and this also applies to the other ones, is having had some discussion on the list, having hopefully made some modifications to the documents, people having actually suggested things, or us having imported the things suggested into the document, try to have a call, a drafting team call, of those who signed up and others who have perhaps been interested enough to comment, to actually try to talk through the suggested changes. And then after having done that, we'll, you know, bring the augmented, hopefully augmented, document back to this full group. But at this point, you know, I'd like to, nobody's got their hand up. So is the document going in the right direction? Do people see it as being appropriate to use this change control metaphor as sort of the framework for the discussion? Does anybody think that it could be done better in some other way? Okay. Does anyone think that there are any issues that haven't been spoken of today or aren't in the document already that need to be added, need to be, you know, considered and thought of while doing this? Please, Trang.
Thank you, Avi. I just had a question more about process. I wonder if the working group may want some feedback from ICANN org from an implementation feasibility at all, and if so, how and at what point in time may that be provided? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I'll give you my immediate answer with that is always.
basically want implementation feedback. That was one of the things that we had in the process last time, though it didn't work out as well as I had hoped. But yes, that the implementation folks were constantly looking at what we did and asking questions like, if you do this in policy, well, we don't understand what that means in implementation, or that would mean this. So I think anytime, I think you should feel free to comment in the document, make suggestions in the document even, you know, especially if you're not doing it as anonymous rabbit, but doing it as trying, as a person with the, you know, identified as staff, so that we know that it's a comment from staff and not a comment from someone random in the community. But I think anytime, and then certainly, you know, in these discussions like now. So if you have now, for example, a feeling one of these rises up and you look at it and say, oh, no, we would never be able to implement that as you're thinking, please bring those things up when I or anyone else, you know, puts them in the document, then we speak up in these meetings. The sooner we talk about things that might be difficult to implement, but maybe fixed by a tweak here and a tweak there, please bring them up. So hopefully that answers, that always answer has been amplified, that always looking for that. Any other comments at this point on that? I see none. So I'll assume we're going in the right direction. I'll assume that hopefully staff will look at this and comment, especially because this affects the policy implementation working relationship between community and organization. So hopefully, yes, Steve, I see your hand. Sorry.
Thanks, Arby. This is Steve Chan from staff, and I just raised it so you did not miss me. So the first comment I wanted to make was just to reiterate that the membership for this particular drafting team is quite slim. So if you are concerned about this topic, I know many of you might be, and perhaps you don't want to commit to joining the drafting team. So as Aubrey said, you can just make comments to the Google document, but to the extent you care about this topic and you have the time to contribute, we would really welcome your participation on this particular drafting team. It certainly needs a little more support from the working group. The other quick comment I just wanted to make is one of the things that staff had flagged as possible inclusion in this document is related to change request. I'm not sure if that's quite the right home for that topic. I would note I don't believe that we've talked about application change request in any other of the work tracks or any of the topics. So it might be something that the working group wants to consider. It doesn't necessarily have to be in this particular framework. Or maybe it does belong here. So just something for the working group to consider. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Steve. And I don't know whether we've created one yet, but that sounds like a perfect issue for a parking lot to make sure that it gets recorded somewhere and that we don't lose it and that we come back later and check the issues in the parking lot to make sure that we have taken care of them somewhere. Yes, and one other thing that I want to say about working in the Google Drive, while I always am happier to have people put their comments in with their name and their suggested text with their name, the tool doesn't require it, nor do we require it. What's most important in these documents are the ideas and such. It's when we talk about them in the group that then we get to, you know, the consensus building. But these documents at the moment are a place to get good ideas and get them collected. And if you have a good idea but you're afraid to call yourself by your name and you prefer for it to be in there as from the anonymous tiger or the anonymous gibbon, please feel free to do that. We need the ideas. We need the thoughts. Later, we'll get to the consensus of human beings and stakeholder groups, et cetera. So anything else on this? Okay, in which case I'll close this at the moment. These are scheduled as 90-minute meetings, but because they're in the same slot as 60, perhaps people forget. But anyway, we're almost done. I just see that there are several people leaving. At this point, is there any other business for this meeting? Seeing none, reading none, hearing none, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all very much for your participation.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.